The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Yay! Anyway, I thank you all who email me with any questions or any topics of interest related to health and nutrition and wellness. That email to reach me is radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. Now, today, I want to talk to you about the very, very, and ever more important vitamin D and its relationship to health, heart health, bone health, chronic disease, all of it. Last week, I talked to you at length about vitamin K and the controversy with all that calcium we've been told to take. Well, we're starting to change our tune on that, and we're finding that vitamin K has a much more important role, especially when it comes to the supplemental calcium that we're taking. You can listen to that podcast. That's from April 29. So let me get started. Let me talk to you all about vitamin D and chronic disease. First of all, I want to alert you to an excellent website by Dr. John Cannell, MD. It's the Vitamin D Council. And if you go to vitamindcouncil.org, there's reams of information there about vitamin D, how much you should get, how much is toxic, some of those things I'm going to talk to you about today, as well as some of the latest research and what that means to all of us. So we know that vitamin D or sunlight is as necessary as water and food, pure water, clean food. And as human beings, we're actually meant to get as much vitamin D as we need through sunlight exposure. Now, our skin, if we're below the age of 60 or 65, our skin is actually very rich with latent pre-vitamin D, which is activated by sunlight. And it produces in us, if we're in the sun, about 10,000 to 20,000 IU each day. I've written a short article that was in our newsletter, and it's now on our website at drhoffman.com. If you look at articles or recent articles, you'll see there somebody sent in a question, how much vitamin D do I actually need? How do I know I'm getting enough? And I touch on some of these points here. So we have that 7-hydro-D cholesterol under the skin, which is activated via sunlight to vitamin D. What are vitamin D's major functions? Well, it helps us to maintain low blood levels of calcium and phosphorus. Very, very, very important. You've heard me say in the past that vitamin D is the bus that takes calcium to the bones. Well, vitamin K is another bus, and it may be a bigger bus, but I digress. Coming back to vitamin D. It also works in concert with nutrients and hormones to promote bone mineralization. But the latest research is actually telling us, you know, when we think of vitamin D, we often think of bone health, you know, to prevent rickets, to prevent osteomalacia, osteopenia, osteoporosis. But really, the research is telling us we need vitamin D, or we need sunlight, to maintain, not or, they're the same, vitamin D and sunlight, to maintain a healthy immune system and to help regulate cell growth and differentiation. So the hormonally active form of vitamin D, it's called calcitriol. Hormonally active vitamin D is called calcitriol. Vitamin D is actually a hormone. It's a potent immunomodulator. And did you know that calcitriol controls over 2,000 genes? I remember the first time I gave a PowerPoint presentation on vitamin D here at the Hoffman Center many, many years ago. I had to change the slide because what we knew then is calcitriol or vitamin D controlled greater than 200 genes. Now we know it's greater than 2,000. And it controls these genes, including genes responsible for the regulation of cellular proliferations, differentiation, apoptosis, that means programmed cell death, and angiogenesis. Angiogenesis is that scary thing that happens that makes cancers metastasize. Angiogenesis is when a tumor will create or grow its own vascular network. Okay? That's what we're talking about. So what's the new vitamin D physiology? We know that we have vitamin D receptors present in the colon, the breast, the prostate, and as many as 36 organs respond to vitamin D. Now, a vitamin D deficiency is associated with a whole lot of things. Why do we get the flu in winter? Well, we don't get a lot of sun in winter, so we could safely assume that our vitamin D levels are basically lower in wintertime, and maybe that's why we're more prone to flu and cold and pneumonia. We're seeing more pneumonia cases lately, which is troubling. Anyway, vitamin D deficiency, as you know, is associated with osteoporosis, but it's also associated with hypertension. And you know, the thing about hypertension and vitamin D is the physiological responses go beyond production of vitamin D, we're finding out. Sun exposure is important because when skin is stimulated with UVA radiation, nitric oxide is released. And when nitric oxide is released, you know, that helps with vasodilation and lowering of blood pressure. It helps the relaxation of the arteries and veins and the lowering of blood pressure. You just heard me say UVA radiation. That's not the radiation associated with vitamin D. UVB radiation is associated with vitamin D, and we only get that between the hours of, say, 10:30 and 2, or 11 and 2:30 or so. UVA radiation happens kind of all around and all day and before and after that. So it's more than just the vitamin D when it comes to hypertension. It's really our physiological response to sun exposure and the UVA rays. Okay? So what else is associated with vitamin D deficiency? Heart disease. Periodontal disease. Did you know? Periodontal disease is associated with vitamin D deficiency. Diabetes. And especially type 1 and other autoimmune diseases, such as MS, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. Common cancers. Breast, prostate, lung, ovarian, skin. I'm going to get into more of that a little bit later. Depression is associated with vitamin D deficiency. Dementia and Alzheimer's. Oftentimes, when you bring nursing home residents out into the sunlight, they start to feel better. Schizophrenia. And you know, nursing home patients aren't getting any vitamin D. And any sunlight that they do get, they're not synthesizing much in their skin anymore because they're past a certain age and they no longer contain the 7-dehydrocholesterol under the skin that helps with the manufacture of D. Other vitamin D deficiency states, chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, tuberculosis. That's why all of those back in the day with tuberculosis were sent to warm weather climates, outdoor air. Could be all that vitamin D in the sunlight. So why is this such an epidemic? We live in cold, sun-deprived climates. We're working indoors. We travel by car. We don't exercise outside except when the weather is nice. We exercise in a gym. We're inside. And you know, we're wearing clothes that cover all but 5% of our body surface area. We need more surface area exposed to the sun. Arms, legs, back. So, but taking oral vitamin D is necessary because we don't get enough sunlight, and a lot of sun phobia is still being fostered by dermatologists. I've not really seen any change in that. I still hear dermatologists saying, no, go out before 10 a.m. and after 3 p.m. So, what's a deficiency of vitamin D less than 40 ng per ml? Or, if you're using the units of nanomoles per liter, it's 100. So, 40 ng per ml, less than 40 is a deficiency state, and less than 100 nanomoles per liter is a deficiency state. The factor to make that conversion is a factor of 2.6. So you take the 40, you multiply it by 2.6, and then you get the nanomoles, okay? Optimal ranges of vitamin D, 40 to 80 ng per ml, or between 100 and 200 nanomoles, okay? What's toxicity? Toxicity is if you have a serum level of greater than 150 ng per ml. That wouldn't be great. So, let's talk about osteoporosis. Women are being prescribed, even to this day, all kinds of osteoporosis medications, yet they're deficient in vitamin D. What's the problem here? Doctors are still going by the old reference range, and I call it old because it really needs to be paying attention, incorporating more of the recent scientific research. I've seen too many patients and clients come into the Hoffman Center and tell me, my doctor said it's fine as long as it's just over 20. Well, guess what? Less than 40 is a deficiency state. So 20 is really not enough. And we need to have our vitamin D levels restored to healthy levels to help increase bone mineral density more effectively. And as you know from last week's podcast, we don't need all that calcium. Vitamin D also significantly increases the intestinal absorption of calcium from 10 to 40%. Very, very important. A deficiency in vitamin D is often misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia. So anyone who has been diagnosed with fibromyalgia needs to have their vitamin D levels checked. In fact, in a study involving 150 children and adults with unexplained muscle and bone pain, almost all were found to be vitamin D deficient, and many were severely deficient with extremely low levels of vitamin D. And a study involving 100 fibromyalgia patients with mild to moderate vitamin D deficiency, patients receiving 50,000 IU every week for 8 weeks reported significant improvement in fibromyalgia assessment scores. Let's talk about cancer. Both prospective and retrospective studies support the concept that it is vitamin D deficiency that may be the driving force for increased risk of common cancers in people living in higher latitudes. We're talking north of Atlanta. What kind of cancer, you ask? Let me go down the list. Colorectal, breast, endometrial, esophageal, gallbladder, skin, prostate, pancreatic, ovarian, Hodgkin's, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So, a serum vitamin D that's less than 20 is associated with a 30 to 50% increased risk of colon, prostate, and breast cancer. And what is the optimal level for cancer prevention? Somewhere in the range of the 55 to 85 region. You want it over 55. So the next time, you know, your doctor says, no, you're at about 20 or so, it's okay. But what about cancer prevention? That also has to be taken into account, not just our bone health. Now, if you currently have cancer and are undergoing chemotherapy, radiation, or any other alternative cancer therapies, you need a level of 70 to 90 nanomoles per ml. Much more than the 50 to 80, okay? A study of 1,200 postmenopausal women age 55 and older followed over the course of 4 years. Those in the treatment group were given supplemental vitamin D had a 60% lower risk for all cancers than those who received a placebo. Another study shows us that early-stage lung cancer patients with the highest vitamin D consumption. Who has the highest vitamin D consumption? Summer season and diet. They lived almost three times longer than patients with the lowest consumption, meaning winter season and a low intake from diet. There was a human intervention trial that revealed just 2,000 IU of vitamin D per day had a positive effect on PSA levels in men with prostate cancer. So, speaking of prostate cancer, there are polymorphisms in the vitamin D genetic pathway, okay? Variations in certain SNPs. Some people have certain genetic mutations that may make them more susceptible. Certain variations in these SNPs, these single nucleotide polymorphisms in the vitamin D pathway gene, might alter the ability of vitamin D to function. And these polymorphisms, they're associated with an altered affinity for vitamin D metabolites, which actually leads to the reduction of total vitamin D concentration in your blood level, in your serum level, but normal levels of biologically available vitamin D. And these ethnic differences are found, these SNPs, these variations, which contribute to lower levels of total vitamin D, are found more in African Americans compared with Caucasians. So African Americans may be found with lower vitamin D levels, not just because of their dark skin and they need more time in the sun, but because of this genetic variation, which is interesting. So, autoimmune disease. When we live at higher latitudes, and that means less vitamin D, less sunlight exposure, it can mean higher levels of type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis. And in a multiple sclerosis study, 21 out of 25 patients with MS given an average of 14,000 IU a day of vitamin D did not relapse, which is wonderful. There's an increased risk of preeclampsia and cesarean section delivery in pregnant women if there's a deficiency in vitamin D. Okay? And low vitamin D levels may increase the risk of bacterial vaginosis. This is a common vaginal infection linked to adverse pregnancy outcome. So vitamin D can help with that. Even higher levels than normal of vitamin D, I've seen with some alternative gynecologists. They're doing very well with their patients in the control of bacterial vaginosis. Even a serum vitamin D level of as high as 100. So there's very little vitamin D in breast milk, so we have to be concerned about that. And 50% of babies are born with vitamin D deficiency, and because they're deficient, they may not reach their maximum height. The recommendations for pregnancy and lactation are anywhere between 2,000 and 6,000 IU daily, and levels need to be checked. So, autism. Is autism iatrogenic? What that means is it brought on by medical advice to avoid the sun? This is a very controversial topic, okay? There is an increase in prevalence of autism over the last 20 years, which may correspond with increasing medical advice to avoid the sun. It could lower vitamin D in the developing brain. But listen, this is not cause and effect. This is simply an association that's been found. It's a hypothesis. So, vitamin D downregulates inflammatory cytokines in the brain that are associated with autism, so vitamin D is certainly helpful. In addition, consumption of vitamin D-containing fish during pregnancy reduces autistic symptoms in offspring. Now, we have to be careful there in pregnancy because of pregnancy and fish intake and mercury levels. So we have to be concerned about that. Now, I've got so much more to cover with vitamin D with you that I'm going to have to continue this into next week's podcast. So stay tuned next week. This whole discussion on the importance of vitamin D, and not just vitamin D, but sunlight itself. And I'll get more into that next week on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.